And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, February 4th, 2017. It's Season 11, Episode 4, and I am Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. The phone number again is 334-272-9228. Check out InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. We are streaming the cam feed right now through Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv in your browser. There's a little box up top. Search for In-Game Chat, and you'll be able to find us. You can watch the show as well as listen to it. You can also join in the chat room that we've got set up there to chat with us and other listeners live while we broadcast. So make sure you do that. Anyway, I know we were off for an episode, and it's been feels like it's been a lot longer than one episode that we've been away from. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, just feels a lot longer to me. Anyway, before we get started, there we go.
Clap.
Yeah, always doing the clap. I'll figure it out one day. I used to never have to do that, and then I don't know what changed. I don't know what switched.
Something.
And why, but yeah, now I have to, so. Goodness, it's been,
2 weeks?
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks, and I haven't written down a single news story to cover, but I figured
nothing happened.
Well, I don't know. There's probably stuff that did. It's just that when you're away at PAX, your backlog of news stories gets massively full, and you just can't catch up. And then I got sick while I was away on my trip, and I still wasn't able to catch up. And so I just figured that, you know, we'll use today's episode to talk about my time at PAX, as we always do whenever I come back from a PAX. Mm-hmm. Matt has had PSVR now for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
You might not get it back.
And we've got loot stuff to open up with. So we got the loot crate stuff that we're going to get into as well in this episode. So I figure we got plenty to talk about, even though I haven't really been paying attention to what's going on in the news around and about. God, that coffee is good, though. So the first thing I'll go into, though, is that I have one of these now. I have an NES Classic. This is...
That's the HDMI capable classic Nintendo Entertainment System, correct?
Yes, it is. And comes with 30 games: Balloon Fight, Bubble Bobble, Castlevania, Castlevania 2,
Ooh, Simon's Quest,
Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr., Double Dragon 2, Dr. Mario.
Not the original Double Dragon, just 2?
Nope, not Double Dragon 2, or not the original, just regular.
Oh, okay.
Excitebike, Final Fantasy, Galaga, Ghost and Goblins, Gradius, Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure, Mario Brothers, the original Mario Brothers, not Super Mario Brothers, but regular Mario Brothers,
oh.
Mega Man 2, Metroid, Ninja Gaiden, or Gaiden, whichever way, Pac-Man, Punch-Out, not Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, but
yeah,
Punch-Out.
Because of legal reasons. You hear the creator of Pac-Man just passed?
I did, yeah, that's one of the things I didn't miss there. Star Tropics.
Oh, wow.
Is in this.
That was one of the ones where you had to have the manual, correct?
I don't know.
I thought that was one of those games where...
Is one of these people Chris who's on the
line? Yeah, that is Chris.
He'll answer that question for you.
Yeah.
Super C, which I'm guessing is...
Super Contra?
Super Contra.
I think.
No.
No?
No, because wasn't Super Contra for the NES?
I know. I thought Contra had more than one on NES, and then
yeah, I think it did.
But usually, with Super games, were Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers 3, Tecmo Bowl, The Legend of Zelda, and then Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. So those are the 30 games that are on this really tiny itty-bitty system, which I have not opened, by the way. This is my first time actually opening it up.
An unboxing.
I figured, why not? I'm going to hack this thing all to death anyway.
Yeah.
Once
not
I,
like literally with a machete or
no,
anything.
No. But I'm going to get into its guts.
Yeah.
Because you can put a lot more than 30 games.
Yeah, because was this a little solid state like card on it or something like that?
Something like that. I really don't know
SD
the whole
SD card, and then
yeah, I really don't know the whole thing. God, it's tiny. Look at that little thing. We're gonna get into some size stuff, by the way, in this episode.
No, it's one of those shows.
Because of my time with the Switch at PAX. Here's your system. There it is. Little tiny old Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah, AC Wraith was saying that with the Star Tropics, you dip it in fluid, you know, the manual to reveal a code.
Was that the one? Okay,
yeah.
That's what I thought it was.
Gosh, that is so small.
Yeah, this is it.
Now, it'd be cool if the little cartridge thing would open.
Man, you put some in there. It's got an HDMI out in the back. It's got the plug-in there, and that is it. And then your two controller ports at the front. That's all.
So small.
That is all it is. That's all it needs. That's all it takes. And that is completely it. It's the whole thing. There you go. We wanted to take a look at it.
Jeez.
Let's see. Let's open
it's so cute. Reset button.
This is the controller.
If I would have seen this back in the day, this would have blown my mind. I mean, the controller is almost as big as the system.
Yeah, I haven't held a Nintendo controller in
my
years.
Mind like forgets how uncomfortable those were. The corners just dig into your hands,
yep,
after years of play, you know, like,
yep,
hours of playing and stuff.
I mean, I'm showing you a retro system. It doesn't, you know, whatever. There you go. That is what's in the box there.
This is super cute.
There's a the plug is
typical
in here.
Size controller too.
Yeah, regular size controller. The plug is in here, but the cord is very small.
Oh, yeah.
The HDMI cable is in here. So everything you need.
It'd be cool if it came with like the NES Advantage or the NES Max. If you could use those.
Third parties, I thought, were doing stuff with those.
This feels just like a like maybe like a hard drive encasement. That's pretty much all.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's extremely. Yeah.
Very nice.
So, I don't know when I'll get around to doing that, but I am gonna totally.
I think weighs less than a Game Boy Advance.
Well, you want to talk about size comparison, sir? This is one of those times when we talk, you know, talk about stuff talk about being on the radio and that sort of thing, but man, if you have access to our Facebook page, you should go there and look at the videos that I took from. You know when you're done with that, RJ.
Yeah, there you go.
The videos I took from the show floor of PAX, mainly so that you can see the size comparisons that I was able to do with the Nintendo Switch. Now, PAX did not change my mind about getting a Switch. It didn't suddenly become like... if anything, it reinforced my determination of not getting one at the moment. But it is a tiny, tiny machine. And you can easily see that in the videos that I took with the Switch, the time that I was able to get with it. I knew I had basically one opportunity, and that was going to be the... There, right there. That was going to be the the early... Hour early that they give media to hit up the show floor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, this is it. This is my only chance to really get this, because any other time, and it's going to be... it's going to be completely packed. I'm never going to get in there, you know? The line is going to max out first thing in the day. And I'm just never going to be able to get to it. So, So that's what I did. That was the first thing I went into. And I almost missed it because I woke up. I had my alarm set for 7. They were going to let us in at 9. So I had my alarm set for 7. Oh, the alarm went off. I heard it and it was, you know, hit the thing. And I was like, all right, now it's time to get up. I woke up at 8:15.
You hit snooze one time.
And looked at the clock and yeah. I was like, oh my God. So I rushed to get down there and I had about 10 minutes to spare. By the time I got into the media line to get in. Mm-hmm. And so they let us in, and I did a quick little run through. I was looking for Nintendo. Once I found it, I got in line. And I didn't have to wait very long, honestly. I think I maybe waited 10 minutes in the line before we got up there to actually play. And we got a good chunk of time to sit there and play Legend of Zelda. They had a bunch. The console was on display everywhere in Nintendo's booth. That's all they were pushing was the Switch. Right. So you were either waiting in line to play Zelda or you were waiting in line to just go to one of the other kiosks and play Splatoon 2 or...
Splatoon 2, Splatoon harder.
What's the Switch game? 1-2 Switch? Whatever? 1-2-3 Switch? I don't know.
Sounds like it.
All those mini games. All the mini games.
Okay.
And they had they had kiosks there, you know, that were running pretty much everything that was going to be launched with the system, unless you were playing Zelda, special line for that. So I got in line, I played Zelda, and the first thing you notice is how small the controller is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the separate controller. I'm talking about the controller when it's put in the Joy-Con.
The little dog face thing?
Yeah, that controller, which I took pictures of. Again, go to our Facebook page and check that out. You can see the pictures of that controller sitting in my hand and how I can easily palm that thing, no problem.
Compared to that NES Classic, same size, a little bigger.
Same size, there. You know, with the exception of just the way the whole design is, mm-hmm. I would say that the NES Classic is about the same size of what that controller would be. Not the controller, not the Nintendo controller, mm-hmm. but the NES itself. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very small. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time, rather than focusing on Zelda that I was playing, I spent a lot of time focusing on the whole system, because this is the first time I've had my hands on it.
Right.
And the guy who was there with me was really nice about everything and, you know, said, okay, if you're going to film, you know, if you're going to take pictures of Zelda, make sure it's not like a direct feed in there. Make sure that there's stuff in the background or foreground or something that that I guess can show that this isn't direct feed type mm-hmm. stuff. And he actually filmed a little bit while I played just to get that in there. And so the Zelda thing, I won't really go into it. I had fun playing Zelda, but I only played it a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. I imagine there is ways to configure the button layout for Zelda, but it was very strange. Was it the jump button? The jump button was... like, the run button, I think, was A. I think. I can't actually remember. I just know that to jump and attack and different things like that, the button layout was not what I would have liked to do. Mm-hmm. The jump button was up at the top, whereas the run button was at the bottom, so you had to take your hand off of run to press jump. Mm-hmm. So if I was trying to make a jump or something like that, I'd have to stop running. It was really strange. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, typically you have the run and jump next to each other or something.
You do. They're usually on a diagonal path, but these were directly opposite each other.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And so
I've seen the layout. It looks weird.
Yeah, I didn't like the way that worked. So, mm-hmm. But that again, I wasn't really there to play Zelda as much as I was to get my hands on the Switch console. So that's the first thing you notice is how amazingly small that controller is. And that's the controller when they're put together
So when you just take it out, it's sort of the little mini
form one thing.
Yeah, the Voltron
controller. Yeah, and what I didn't know is that the row that I was on had the Joy-Con controller. The row that was opposite of me playing Zelda had the Pro controller.
Okay.
Which is the one that isn't the Joy-Con. It's just a regular basic controller.
Yeah.
And when I got around to that other side as I was leaving, I picked that up, and it was much, much better.
As long as you're not using the controller that it comes with.
You're right. The controller it was made for, the controller that it comes with, that's much better. So
were you able to take the Joy-Con apart to see the individual two halves?
Yeah.
And those are like
which I want to say I put the, I've got to see what I've put up there on our Facebook page. I can't remember everything I put, I did the separation. They still made the click sound like they do in the promos and stuff like that. They clicked and everything else, but I was able to separate those, and once you have one of those in your hands, once you have one of the Joy-Cons separate in your hands, it is extremely small. I have big
monster hands.
I have huge hands. But these were extremely, extremely small. Smaller than this NES system, smaller than the controller for the NES.
I'm trying to give a size. If you took a standard mouse and cut it in half. I know it didn't look as wide as a mouse on that video.
Yeah, I wish I had something in here that I could really. It's smaller than my phone, which whatever. The phones are big now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's smaller than my cell phone. Cutting a standard mouse in half, it's still bigger. The mouse is still bigger.
Wow.
Looking at that right there, it's still
Just looking at a standard mouse, just
yeah.
Yeah, they seem T90 in the video.
It's a little bit smaller than if you cut that mouse in half, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, size comparison here. Just cut this in half, and there you go. That's a Joy-Con.
Yeah, but it's very, very tiny and looks... And it seems extremely uncomfortable to hold... because you're supposed to play it like a regular controller. It seems really uncomfortable to do that with. I don't get it. I do not get it. So they did allow us to do the handheld version, which I'll get to is that I was able to, and there's video of this as well, of us separating it from the regular controller and then attaching it to the Switch console itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so you snap those in, it makes a little click. And then I was able to pull that out and kind of play that. I was holding the phone in one hand because I was videotaping this and doing that. But once I was able to play it, it's hard to say that it works as a handheld. It is too big, right? Mm-hmm. So we've gone to some extremes here.
Yeah, too small controller by itself.
Too small controller by itself. But once you plug it in to make
standalone.
To make a handheld. It's too big. It's
roughly the size of the Wii U controller?
A little bit bigger than that.
A little bit bigger?
Yeah. It's a little bit bigger than that. I mean, it doesn't have any weight to it. It's very... I actually held the cord that was attached to the thing to see if that had any of the weight. If that was what I was feeling was the weight was. But it's... I mean, it's light. It's okay for a handheld as far as the weight of it, but it's just unruly as far as how far apart your hands are, and how big it is. It's too big as a handheld.
How's it compared to? I was asking. How's it compared to the 3DS?
I mean, the 3DS is much better as a handheld. It really is. You can compact that. You know, you open up the 3DS, it flips up. You flip it
down.
And
you're really only holding one half of it. The other is just an extra screen on top.
Yeah.
You're not holding it
The 3DS has a nice little, and maybe that's something that I'm just used to, but the 3DS has a nice feel to it. And it doesn't, God, I wish I had a way to, I wish I had a way to kind of give you an idea of this thing, but...
looks like a tablet with just two little attachments stuck on the side.
It is. It's a very small... It's a much smaller tablet, but it just feels too big. You know, it really feels too big. You have to have both hands hanging onto this thing to really play any of it. Mm-hmm. Holding it with one hand felt a little strange, which I can do with my 3DS. I can hold with one hand. Obviously, you can't play much with one hand.
Did it feel like the attachments were going to come off?
No. Okay. Never felt that way.
At least they're pretty solid, like attached.
Everything about it felt solid, but there wasn't much of it to deal with, you know? There's the Joy-Con controllers and then the Switch console itself. And I'm not saying this thing's going to fail. I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it from my perspective.
So with the both you know, of the two halves into the Voltron mode of the Joy-Con, is it about the size of a 3D, you know, about like that? Or
are you talking about the, no, say again
the,
now?
The two, you know, the two sides that split
the
off.
The two Joy-Con controllers.
Yeah, and they form into the, you know, the little center one where it's all one piece.
Oh, of the controller?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is it about the size of a 3DS?
No, or smaller.
Oh, so even that is.
Yeah. 3DS is much wider. It's smaller than that, yeah.
Wow.
It's much smaller. I can fit the whole thing in my hand. I can fit the whole thing into my hand.
All right.
So if I put, like, I can't fit the whole phone in my hand, right?
Yeah.
I can fit it this way, but it sticks out on the side.
Yeah.
The other one doesn't stick out on the side. Huh. It all fits inside my hand.
All right.
Like I said, go to our Facebook page and look at those videos. Because that's where you're gonna see the comparisons of size. Again, I have really big hands, but that's the reason I wanted to mess with this thing, was because I do have big hands. I wanted to see if this thing was going to be comfortable. And I can tell you right now, it's not going to be comfortable to play for long periods of time.
I'm thinking that there's some third party out there already sees the issues with the size of the controller. Just make
a big
one like that.
Oh, already. I'm sure. This is why I'm kind of actually waiting. Mm.
It's definitely a wait and see for me.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I figure Nintendo's going to have an array of peripherals that can be used with this thing. Like, here's the Joy-Con XL. I mean, they did it with a 3DS, 3DS XL. Here's the Joy-Con XL. Here's the Nintendo Switch XL.
I remember the 360 did it. They had to make one smaller, a smaller version of their initial controller. Remember that?
I remember the Xbox.
Yeah,
the original Xbox. Yeah, mm-hmm. They had the super large controller.
To be the default.
Was it like the Duke or something?
What?
The original Xbox, the controller, the big one.
Oh, the big massive thing.
I think the default one was huge, and then they made a smaller version later on. But yeah, so yeah, someone's going to make an alternate.
Moltal's asking, did you get using the controllers in the attached mode or the Wii-like mode? I'm not sure what you're asking there, Moltal.
It's that Irish in them.
Yeah. Mm-mm. The Wii-like mode, maybe he's wondering if I got to mess with it with, like, 1, 2, 3 Switch. And
or, like,
move it around.
The two individual.
Yeah, which I did not get to play it in that way.
Yeah.
During the Switch-off, you know, going from the controller side to putting them as a handheld thing, I was able to hold those in my hand. And again, I took pictures of this. Go to our Facebook page to see these. I took pictures of these things in my hand, these really, really tiny things. They do not look comfortable to play in. If you have big hands, they're very, very small. I'm hoping that most games will rely you to play with the controllers attached to the Joy-Con, to the Switch, something like that, so that they're not the separate things. I don't plan to play much with those separates because it just doesn't seem like it'd be very fun to do. Now, attached to the screen, yes. Like I said, I did get to play it that way. Where they are attached to the screen, it becomes the portable console. And that was really cool to go from playing it on a TV and then putting it in there. And as soon as I pull it out, the screen goes blank on the TV and this thing lights up and says, I think you have to press the two top buttons to confirm everything. And then you're back into play just exactly where you were on the Switch as a portable. But like I said, as a portable, it's much bigger than what I expected to be of a portable. It's wide, obviously. It's not very long, but it is wide.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it feels uncomfortable to play as a handheld device. Mm. This isn't really going to affect me much. I don't see myself using it as much as a
portable
handheld.
No.
I don't. First off, the battery life on this thing is repulsive.
We don't have, like, you know, commutes where we're taking public transportation, you know, sitting in the train or, you know.
Yeah, I sat down with a friend of mine who works at Big Fish Games, and they're all about the tablet-type games and stuff like that. And they were showing me a new game that they were working on, and I got to play a little bit of it. And, you know, they were fielding questions to me, like, how do you feel that was as a portable? How do you feel? And I said, you know, well, I don't, my commute is not one that I get a chance to play anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really speak on that sort of thing where somebody gets on a public transportation and rides for 30 minutes to an hour to get to their job where they've got the time to sit there and play something if they want to and then does it back on the way home. I just don't have that issue. About the only time I stick my feet into the portable gaming scene is when I'm taking these
airplane
trips.
Yeah,
that's when I'm taking these trips. So, as a portable for this thing, I don't see myself using it, the Switch, very much as a portable system. For that reason, and I mean, maybe getting up and going to a different room for some reason, but I don't know. I've never sat in one room thinking, boy, I wish I could take this to the other room. If I want my gaming system in another room, that's where I put it, in the other room. You know, I haven't. There hasn't been a. I've got one in the living room. I've got systems in the living room, and I got systems in the bedroom. I'm covered. I can't pause on one and go play it in the other, but I hardly ever play anything in the living room anymore. I'll play it in the bedroom or in the computer room, and.
Now you can play in the bathroom.
I can do that with the Wii U.
Yeah.
You know? You could do that with the Wii U. You could take everything somewhere else in the house, and it was right there on your screen. I just don't see it being a thing for me. It probably will be a thing for a lot of other people. We'll see how well it works as a portable system. That just doesn't seem to... I mean, this is not something I can put in my pocket like you can with the 3DS.
Yeah.
Even the 3DS XL, it's a little oversized, but I can shove it in my pocket to go from one place to the next, you know, and then take it out before I sit back down or even leave it in there if I need to sit back down. It doesn't matter. I can do that. You can't do that with this system. Joy-Con controllers attached or not, you still can't do that with this system. That's something they need to work on that maybe they are working on. I don't know. But there seems like there needs to be some way to compact it when you're done with it. If you take it as a portable, some way to compact the thing, maybe have it fold in half. I don't know.
Mm.
To that way your screen's protected and, you know, it's nice in a nice little compact for, I don't know.
Yeah, the problem that you get with, you know, hinges and.
Oh, I know. There's plenty of issues
all
there.
Kinds of, yeah.
So it's still not a system for me. No, I did not try and walk away with one in my pocket. No.
So maybe you could have put it in your pocket.
Yeah, you really couldn't. These things do not lend themselves portably very well.
Mm-mm.
They don't. Controllers, because they're small, yes. But once it's in handheld mode, no, it's not very good.
All right.
So, yeah.
I wish you could, now that I think about it, I wish you could have brought a VMU for my Dreamcast in for a comparison on that one, size-wise.
Oh, for size?
Yeah.
Like just the VMU?
Yeah, the VMU with everything attached, yeah.
Yeah.
I had the same issue with that when using it for little mini games on attached to different Dreamcast games, and my hands, you know, hitting one button, they end up hitting two by accident, things like that nature, all that stuff, yeah. So I can see that happening with this controller if the description matches what you're saying.
Like I said, check out our Facebook page. I can't stress that enough. I'm going to our Facebook page now because I really want to see what I've got. What I've got there. Okay. Yeah, there's the photos. You can see the Joy-Con in my hand, just by itself. You can see the controller in my hand, as well. I do have video of when we disconnect it from the controller and make it a handheld. So there's that as well. I've got a lot more pictures that I don't think I've posted to our Facebook page to show that off. But it's a really small thing, man. It's very, very small. It's very, very uncomfortable. A pro controller all the way this thing. If you're looking to get it, and I know that Chris is one of those guys looking to get it, we need to take a break here because we're already at halfway down. Chris, hang on the line. I want to come to you right when we come back because I know you talked to me through Facebook when I was making some of these posts, and were asking me questions about it. So, where did he go? I just said, Chris, hang on the line. All right. Anyway.
Maybe he got tired of hanging.
I guess he did, which is very strange. Okay, that's probably him calling back. Anyway, we'll be right back with more in-game chat right after this. Again, all new music this year, of course, during our bumpers and breaks and stuff. So here is music from Contra 4. This is Stage 1, The Jungle, and we'll be back. I believe this was on Contra 4. What was this on? Was this on like a Game Boy or no? I can't remember. You looking this up for me?
I'll do it.
RJ, I'm looking this up as well. I'm curious. DS.
DS.
Yeah, it was on the DS, not the Game Boy. It was DS. So here's music.
Contra 4.
Yeah, Contra 4.
Okay.
Here's music for Contra 4 at Stage 1. Jungle, we'll be right back right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from the Game Boy. It's level 1 of Jurassic Park.
Oh.
For the Game Boy system.
I kind of miss that old clunky brick.
Yeah?
I had some good memories on it.
I never owned one. Never had a Game Boy.
I think they have one in a museum in the Smithsonian.
I didn't have a handheld system until the PSP.
Oh.
PSP was my first handheld system.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a Game Boy in the Smithsonian where it went through Iraq. It was blown up in an IED, but it still functions.
Durable.
Yeah.
Like the original Xbox.
We're joined in studio. No, Chris,
bulletproof, actually.
Chris, who was actually on the phone with us, was actually downstairs, and so I'm glad he came in though, so that we could get him. Usually, this is how we would talk to him. Hey, Chris, you're on the air. Hey, Chris, you're on the. We don't have a camera set up for you or anything, but
you're on the air.
Yeah, you're on the air now. So
audio and the headsets going on coming.
Huh? Oh, the audio and the headsets going and coming. Well. Yeah. Take the headset off because you can still hear us.
Yeah.
But I did need to ask you questions because I know that you had some questions about the Nintendo Switch that you kept giving me. I remember when we were I was posting them on Facebook and stuff, and you were asking me some questions about that. Because you pre-ordered a Switch, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Why did you pre-order a Switch?
Zelda.
Do you have a Wii U?
Got rid of it and didn't like it.
Okay. Why didn't you like the Wii U?
I just got tired of it. I just
found it. How many games did you have for it?
Two or three.
Yeah.
I even got the Xenoblade one that came recently on it, and I got in it a little bit, and I just got to the point, I don't care about it no more.
Yeah.
So, decided to get out while it was getting good and waited for Zelda.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Zelda's going to be released on the Wii U as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the last game Nintendo's going to produce for the Wii U,
mm-hmm.
or that they're going to make for the Wii U. And so people will be able to play it on Wii U or on a Switch if they want to. And there are very few differences between the two systems as far as playing it there. So, I mean, my reasoning is kind of opposite of yours, you know. It's because you're buying it for Zelda, and I'm not buying it because, well, I can play Zelda on a Wii U if I want to, and that's it. You know, the launch lineup for this system is very, very...
Nothing.
Minimal. You know, it's a very, very...
Almost non-existent.
Very close to being non-existent release library for the system itself.
Doesn't really matter too much. I'll be playing Horizon Zero Dawn anyway.
Right. That's coming out at the end of February. PS4. Yeah, end of February.
I've been seeing the commercials for it.
Yep.
Was there anything else down the line you were thinking of picking up for the Switch other than Zelda?
Not offhand, unless they bring out some of the Dragon Quest games that they ought to be bringing out, like 10 and 11, and they're thinking they don't sell too well in America. Or, you know, like, hello, they do have a fan base.
Yeah, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going
to
be.
Yeah, it's got to be enough to support it, and yeah, sometimes the fan base, there isn't
as
enough
vocal
to
as they could
it.
Be. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, there are plenty of titles that has a significant fan base and in states that.
I'm a huge Parappa the Rapper fan, but you know, it doesn't mean I'm going to ever see another one of them.
Yeah, but that just makes us buy imports.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
True. Well, I mean, a lot of people say that. Well, it's got Mario and it's got Zelda, and Mario's not even until the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, that's two games, one of which I can still play on a Wii U, so it doesn't. It still doesn't put it into a position of purchasing, and I'm sure we're going to get other games announced at E3, because E3's got to come up, you know, and so I'm sure we're going to have...
I would love a Metroid.
You know, yeah, we're going to have more... we're going to have more to see from this system, but it's still yet to be a purchase, you know, a purchase for
me. A Metroid, a Castlevania, you know, I don't know, just... Who knows? Maybe once they start making more games and start announcing more games, that might change my mind.
You see a bunch of safe titles?
Just and titles I want to play.
I mean, Zelda and Mario, I can see those are safe, yeah, those are safe picks. But
those are.
Well, anything
like you said,
Milton there.
Like you said, Metroid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what other M?
We still. I'm surprised they haven't done much more with it.
I don't think they did. I don't think they did a Metroid for the Wii U, did they?
No.
Because other M was just Wii.
Yeah. Other M was Wii, and then they did some type of Metroid Factions or something for the 3DS.
Yeah, the
it was
Prime.
A multiplayer game. Yeah.
Yeah,
and but they haven't really gone back into that.
I wish they'd get. I almost wouldn't mind if they got rid of the Prime line, you know, the first person whatever, and just go back to side scrolling, maybe like a 2.5D, just something like. I don't know if you ever played Shadow Complex.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, something like that, you know, where it's, you know, still. You know, 2D-ish and everything.
Wouldn't Axiom Verge,
yeah,
thing to Metroid,
yeah,
you've played?
Oh, Axiom Verge, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a heavy, heavy, heavy Metroid.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people say Metroidvania style of gameplay. This was totally Metroid gameplay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Axiom Verge.
And pretty tough, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But it was great. God, it was good. Mm-hmm. I really, really loved that. So, I don't know. And honestly, that's about all that I played out at PAX was just that. I walked from booth to booth and said hello, and that was on Friday. And then on Saturday, I did the same thing. And, you know, didn't play much else more than I just watched a lot of games being played. Most of it, PAX South is the smaller of all
low
of
key.
Them. Yes. It's much smaller than all of them out there. So they got a huge tabletop section, massive tabletop section. And apparently while I was out there, they announced a PAX tabletop convention for Pennsylvania or Pittsburgh, something like that.
Somewhere.
Yeah, and I can't remember what it's called. PAX Unplugged, I think is what it's called. Okay. And it's all tabletop focused.
I want to get into the Star Wars tabletop with the starfighters and stuff. I really want to get into
I want to say they had some of that out there, but I didn't look too much. And then of course I was and then Saturday when I got done, I got sick, and Sunday, the entire last day of the convention, I spent inside my hotel room recovering. And then Monday, I spent most of Monday, you know, I had a late flight on Monday, 6 o'clock at night. I spent most of my day inside the hotel room for as long as I could, and then I was at the airport the rest of the time.
So no Big Lou's pizza?
No Big Lou's pizza, unfortunately, no. Ooh. No.
I think RJ's disappointed.
I'm disappointed, man. I'm disappointed. I lost an entire day, you know?
Yeah.
I lost an entire day and a half, basically.
Was it Concrud? That you know, you think, or
I, you know, people I've talked to,
it's easy to get it. From
people home. I've talked to have said you probably carried this out there with you, whatever it was.
Oh,
they feel like it wouldn't have taken. Because I was there Friday and Saturday, they feel like I probably because I had something previous before I left for PAX the weekend prior to PAX. I had something going on, and I'd stocked up on medicine at the house and that sort of stuff. So. I felt like I had knocked it out.
Apparently not.
And then it just, God, it hit me, and it was miserable. God, it was miserable.
Mm. So. Especially when you're having that much fun and that happens.
I really was having a lot of fun with it and was looking forward to doing more stuff on Sunday and just wasn't able to get back down to the show floor and didn't want to make anything worse for me, didn't want to make it worse for other people. Yeah, it's just bad. It's just bad that last day. So
you're talking about PAX Unplugged. It says in Philly for November 17th through the 19th.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a nice little tabletop convention.
Cool.
So
that'll work.
So you're getting a Switch, Chris, and you're getting a Pro controller, I guess.
If I can get one, I found out that GameStop was already sold out that afternoon when we. Found out about the controllers.
Mm.
Well, we'll see.
I think you'll be able to. I think systems themselves might be hard to come by, but then again, I don't know on this one. I don't know if it'll be hard. I don't know if this is going to be the
must have
the big one for Nintendo like they've previously, you know, done.
It's not affecting me.
Mm. Like, the Wii, when it released, was one of the hard ones to get, but the Wii U was not.
Yeah.
You know, the Wii U, I don't think, really did a bunch of sellouts and that sort of thing. And so I don't necessarily know that the Switch is going to be like this either.
Yeah.
I really don't think it is. I could be massively mistaken on this, and it could be this huge killer thing. But it's not a holiday season, you know? It's March.
Yeah.
Just weird. It's a console release in March, so...
Because no one else is, so yeah. It's all them.
We'll see how that goes. We'll see how it goes. That's all I got to play. What did I play? I played NES Remix on my 3DS on my way out there. Didn't play much of that on the way back. I didn't play much of anything on the way back. Yeah, I think that's all that I play. I haven't played anything since I've been home. It's been rest. You know, it's been Netflix and rest is all it's been. More rest than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't actually played anything at the house.
Hmm.
I've got new pinball tables to play. And I want to say it's Rogue One that they released for Pinball Effects 2.
Yes.
That actually was sent to me while I was out of town. But nice. I haven't touched it yet since I've been back home. I just haven't played much of anything. I plan on taking this thing to the internet and see what I can make happen on it.
You can hack it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Taking it to the internet, see what I can...
Get with Tim at Retro Game Planet. He's got one. He's planning to do the same.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be that hard.
No.
No, like I said, if it's just a flash drive encasement, yeah, it shouldn't be hard at all. Double that game capacity.
Yeah, I'm really curious about
What was it, 60-something?
I think it's more than that. I think you put like 80.
80?
Okay, somebody was able to put 80 on there.
Okay, 80. Hey, if it's got the space to do it, have at it, man.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we got loot crate boxes we're going to open up later on this hour. But we haven't really talked about what everybody else has played. And Chris, since you're here, what have you been playing?
Let's see. Mine went blank.
All right.
All right, then.
Y'all can go ahead. I'll keep thinking.
Well, I mean, we've only got about 7 more minutes left, and I want to get to... I'm gonna let Matt do his separate since he's been doing the VR.
Yeah, he's had a good. He should have a good.
I've
good amount.
Got a lot. I've actually been playing stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But what about you, RJ?
The week we were gone, we went to Comic-Con. So
I didn't see you.
Yeah, I went. I went past your booth.
Were you there Saturday?
Yeah, I was there Saturday. I went past there twice. Didn't see you there.
All right.
Maybe you in full regalia uniform. I don't know.
Yeah, I was a full stormtrooper.
Okay, I went past there. I didn't see it. But anyway, yeah, we went to Comic-Con in Birmingham. A little. Comic convention that we have there every year, every January.
My feet were sore.
I bet. There's not a lot of space to move. Not a lot of space to sit down either.
No.
It was jam-packed because everyone was having a good time there. But they had a nice little arcade there. And we played a little bit of Street Fighter, a little competitive Street Fighter V with some folks out there. We also played the Initial D racing game out there as well. It was the Japanese import, and we were able to save our data on these little data cards that we purchased from the arcade staff there as well, but mine was from AWA a year back, and since it was the same company, same game, my card still worked from a year ago on that one, so I was able to keep my progress through that, so that was nice, so I can be looking for that every convention I go to where they have an arcade there.
Taiko drumming game. And
yes, they had a bunch of Taiko games there.
I wanted to do that, but you know the line was just so long, I was like, you know.
Sunday was pretty good. Basically, early in the morning or late at night was when it was thinned out.
Okay.
But yeah, they had two Taiko. We had a lot of music games out there at Comic-Con as well. Taiko Drum Master, of course, that one. And there was another one from Konami, I believe, a different take on the same format.
You know, the retro arcade at PAX South was for a pinball lover, was abysmal. They only had two pinball machines, Adam's Family. No, I'm sorry, Twilight Zone and Terminator were the only two machines they had. Twilight Zone, when I tried to play it, was broken. Mm-hmm. And then when I went over to play Terminator the next day, which it was working at the time, but the next day it was broken. And so, what I did end up playing, though, and I sent a picture of this, I want to say to you, Windjammers.
Okay, good.
They had an actual arcade cabinet with Windjammers on it.
Yeah, the first time we played that, we was a grand old time, man. A lot of trash talking, competitive play. And
yeah,
all that stuff,
I actually had fun playing it. That was actually a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, very simple to learn and just easy to learn, hard to master. That type of thing. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really know much of what I was doing, but I won most of my matches.
You get the hang of it. You get the hang of it very quickly. But so I'm checking it. I'm still waiting for that to come out on PS4, by the way. Other games that were there, we had the Bishibashi. That was Konami's little
Bishibashi.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's crazy. It's just straight up Japanese crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a party game. You got three buttons. I'm sorry, four buttons, three color buttons, and a gold button at the top. Basically, you have these little mini games, 22 mini games that you play to get to the top of this tower.
I used to play that on my PS1, my PlayStation 1. I had it imported.
Yeah.
And everything and played it. Yeah, Bishibashi Special. And, it was insane.
Yeah, it's a good, nice little game, to play. You know, especially with friends and everything. And also we had the I don't know the name of it, but it involves flipping a table.
Was it Rage Quit Simulator?
I guess something like that. But it was like situations where someone gets mad, you bang the table to increase power, and then you flip the thing to for distance and get points that way. I forget the name of it. I'll have to look it up. I'm sorry I didn't get the name of it. It was all in Japanese at the time.
Yeah.
So we just called the table flipping game. Out there. And of course there were also the tournaments for Persona 5. Blaze Blue, Guilty Gear, and all those other things like that. So, yeah, it was a pretty good video gaming time out there as well. Yeah.
And I got to meet Alexander Shinara.
Yeah, that was true. He did show up out there.
Yep.
He did.
Got my picture with him.
We thought I thought it was a joke.
No, yeah, he was, yeah, said, he was one, of the, one of the guests.
Alexander Chenard coming to Comic-Con. We're like, why? Oh, this is going to be a joke. Then I saw that the Friday before, I saw the booth in the dealer's room.
Yeah.
He wasn't there, but his name was above the empty booth.
Yeah. And a picture with him.
Yeah, I saw plenty of shirts out there for him. Alex Chenard. Alex Chenard, if no one knows, is a local injury lawyer.
Ambulance chaser.
He's an injury lawyer in Alabama and basically the Southeast. He's got billboards all over the place.
Here, Florida, and Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, all over the place. So, yeah. So when he showed up at a comic convention, that was just a...
That's really weird.
Loop. Yeah, yeah, it is. That was the standout moment of the entire con.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he something that expecting something like happen in Ted, too?
No. No, nothing like that. He was just there.
Yeah.
We don't know why. He was just there. Had a panel and everything, did he not?
I think so.
Yeah, he had a panel there as well. Yeah. And he had merchandise and everything out
there.
He had
a panel?
He had a panel out there at Comic-Con. Hmm.
Talking about what? Yeah, that's great.
What else can you talk about? Legal stuff, I guess.
I don't understand. What's the panel that he would have at a comic convention?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a panel, but, that... Yeah, but kind of makes yours more
fits.
Sense.
Yours fits.
We're costuming. Yeah. We're,
like costuming. 501 Legion, Star Wars, comics, things like that. Yeah. This guy.
Trial lawyer.
Injury.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
That's really weird.
It was.
Yeah.
They're probably going to ask him back.
Well, he was probably the most famous person there.
True. That is true.
Let's see. I went to a panel for Friday the 13th, the game.
Ooh.
Just like I did when I was in PAX Seattle, PAX Prime.
That one's got me interested.
Yeah. And so there wasn't much new that they showed off there, much other information that they kind of gave out, for the game itself. So not much new was discovered there. Played another couple of rounds of Johann Sebastian Joust, which is a fun little physical game to play.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a bunch of Move controllers, you can play them, but you can look that up to see how it's played. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. It's a group game type thing. Yeah. And now I can say Hand of Fate 2 as well. That was on display that I got a chance to mess around with, but that is probably all of my gaming stuff there. Wow. That I was able to do at PAX South, which isn't very much, and I hate that, but that's what happens when the con stuff takes over.
Oh, Motile put it in the chat room. Thank you, Motile, by the way. Super Table Flip. Yeah, that's the game that was in there.
Super Table Flip?
Super Table Flip.
All right.
Japanese stress relief game.
All right.
Okay, we're at the top of the hour now, and my headphones are giving me some issues. Here, there we go. Now I've got both ears. All right. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll find out how Matt has fared with his PlayStation VR experience. He's had the setup now for 2 weeks.
Spoiler, I liked it.
Yeah, he's brought it back now because now RJ is going to take over with it.
Yeah.
But we're going to find out how that all worked out for him. When we come back, again, all new music this year. This music is from Mario Paint for the SNES. It's the Music Maker song.
I don't recognize this.
They had three different versions. One was like the old Mario tune and stuff. These were ones you could load up into the Music Maker itself.
And you could make your own songs.
And then you could make your own songs. So this is one of the preset songs that was in the game. We'll be right back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from Overwatch. That is apparently the Hollywood theme. And Overwatch has got some really good music in it, actually. The more I find music from Overwatch, the more I'm like, hey, that's really, really good. So I should maybe one day play that game.
Maybe.
Yeah, let's move it on over to Matt now, who's had 2 weeks away playing video games, and he's had VR stuff to play. But before you get into the VR, hit the non-VR stuff first.
I beat the storyline of Hitman. I've been going back through the 2016 release of Hitman.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, you know, I just want to get into it. And the more I was playing it, the more I absolutely love that game.
It's really good.
It is so much fun. I was making sure, like, I was getting level 20 on all of, my experience level 20 on all the different missions.
Uh-huh.
And so I, like, the replayability of it is just,
yeah,
it's fantastic. Just amazing. And then they go off and make, you know, side missions. And, so I've been doing the side missions because if you do enough of those or you do certain conditions, then you'll get, like, you know, bonus weapons or stuff like that. And then they also have the escalation missions. And so I was doing a lot of that and just. So going through all the storyline of Hitman and playing all those and just finding the different ways of doing things,
yeah.
I had so much fun with that game. I really can't recommend it enough. It is one of my favorites of last year so far.
Fantastic.
Me, James, and Kevin started get back into flight sims.
Okay.
So we have the DCS, which I think Digital Combat Simulator. James and I had the A-10. And Kevin had one of the helicopters. I think it was like the Blackfin or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I forget which one. It was one of the Russian helicopters. So it's like a real in-depth flight sim, you know, a combat flight sim. And so we were doing that, just, you know, trying to figure out, all right, how do we play this?
Mm-hmm.
So because it's been a while since, you know, I think the three of us have been in that game. And so that's been a lot of fun getting, you know, our pilot wings back and, you know, The A-10 cockpit is just so detailed that, you know, every switch you could flick. And, like, if you want to, you could, you know, you could either have the engine start up, like, on the hot ramps where the engine's already going, or you could get in there and you could do the, you know, the engine startup procedures. We had to, you know, turn on the APU, turn on, you know, the VHF. I mean, like, actually go through, like, an actual A-10 pilot would, you know, be doing for turning on the A-10. So that level of detail is a lot of fun. A lot to read up on, a lot, you know, for the training manual or like the videos just to try and figure out how to, cause like when you actually accomplish something, you feel like you have accomplished it. Right. Mm-hmm. So once we figured out how to actually turn the gun system on, you know, the weapon system and fire the, you know, the Gauit, you know, 30 mil gun, mm-hmm. we're like, oh my gosh, I just shot the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, all right, how do we do the missiles? I'm like, ah, man, I don't know. So we're, you know, going through the multifunction displays of, you know, trying to figure out how to, you know, get to the arming system, how to load, you know, arm up the missiles, how to set those to fire. And so it's crazy in depth.
It was a whole bunch. There's a whole bunch of planes you could pick from.
There are. It's DCS World, and mm-hmm. there's, you know, a whole bunch of different planes, and they range in the level of like complexity for, you know, the cockpit, because the three of us got the F-15C Eagle, yeah. and it's more streamlined where you don't have, you know, the switches, you know, like yeah. you have the, you know, the HUD mm-hmm. and the cockpit and everything, but you can't actually flip switches on it, so it's all like keyboard shortcuts or okay. whatever. Yeah. Whereas I really like the A-10 because I could, you know, use my my hat switch, look down, you know, at, you know, as I'm flying, look down at, you know, at the left panel and start flipping switches for, you know, whatever I need, or, you know, pulling, you know, you pull things for, yeah. you know, the different stuff. So everything in the cockpit itself is functional.
Okay.
So I personally, I like that. It's super intimidating,
yeah.
but it's kind of fun.
Okay.
You know, instead of just like going in there and like hitting a button and you're already flying and firing, you know, actually having to turn on the, you know, master arm, then turn on the gun arm, and then, you know, actually, you know, get ready to fire munitions. And you even have to like load out. And so for me, like, you know, going through the weapons loadout, that was just like, I was just like in heaven, you know, just like, oh my gosh, like you could have this kind of bomb. And, you know, since, you know, that's my job, I actually knew what the different munitions were,
mm-hmm.
you know, from everything from the training to the, you know, the precision guided missiles to, you know, the air to, you know, the bombs. So I was just like, oh yeah, I know about all this stuff. So okay. that made me excited.
Okay.
And on that, VR.
That concludes your non-VR portion of gaming?
Resident Evil was both VR, non-VR.
Right, yeah.
But I'll I'll talk about it in that. Yeah, Scott, let me borrow his PSVR.
All right, so you took it home.
Took it home.
And
I looked at it, and I'm like, all right, very carefully.
When did you start hooking it up? The night you took it home or the next day?
Okay. No. Yeah, that night.
I didn't know.
Yeah, that night. I was like, all right, let me, you know, so I'm like carefully just going through the manual. I'm like, all right, figure this out, figure that out. Okay, cool. So
it's all numbered and everything, so it's super easy. It's very easy to connect.
Very intuitive. The hardest part was actually reaching behind the TV to plug it into, you know, the HDMI port.
Uh-huh.
You know, because the TV's like mounted on the wall. So that was the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
So got it in there. I'm like, all right. Now I'm trying to figure out what to play first. So, obviously, I load up Battlefront.
No, that's the one you want to do first?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Given a choice, Star Wars will win. So, I put in Battlefront, and then, you know, like, click the button.
Did you already have all the stuff you needed downloaded?
I'd already downloaded the Rogue One mission, stuff like that. And so, you know, click the button, you know, adjusted the headset. It's kind of weird how you have to adjust it on your face. For blurriness.
Well, so you wear glasses.
Yeah, so maybe that's what it was. So I had to just get it just right.
Did you wear your glasses? Did you have to wear your glasses with it?
I tried it without, and I couldn't.
Because you're the only one that I know who has to deal with this. How did that work wearing your glasses?
I didn't even notice.
Okay.
I
didn't know if like the headset.
It wasn't pressing against the temples of my glasses. It felt comfortable.
That's good.
So I didn't even notice a bit. So as soon as I got into the Rogue One, did you play the Rogue One? Okay. So as soon as I got in there, you do the menu system and it's just a white screen and it says Star Wars Battlefront. Mm-hmm. And then out of your left ear, you hear this big clank. And so, you know, look over and look up and it's an AT-AT Walker.
Yeah.
And I've seen AT-ATs in different games.
Well, the thing about it is that's how that game started.
Yeah.
Is that, whenever you're on the menu screen, something would be right there on the front, and sometimes the foot would come into frame and walk, but you didn't have the ability to look up and see the rest of the machine.
Okay, cool. I've seen them in like games throughout the past, you know, 30 years I've been playing Star Wars games or so, but until this moment I've never had a sense of scale like that because it's so immersive. You know, like looking at it and just seeing how huge it is in VR is so much different than just when you're playing the level and you're on Hoth and you see it and you're like, whatever. But like, I've never had that sense of like me being there and be like, oh, this is what Luke Skywalker saw, you know, when he was attacking it, you know, like how massive it was. So that was the first introduction to like, oh, wow, what have I got myself into? Mm-hmm. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to the hangar and you see the X-Wing and, you know, you go to the different stations. I'm looking around. I see the troop transport behind me.
Yeah.
I get up on they have a little, like a lift that you're on, and I peer over it and I actually, like, start to feel a little like mm-hmm. oh, my God, a little vertigo kicking in because I'm like, okay, cause even though I'm flat on, you know, I'm on the ground, it feels like your brain is, it's so tricked.
Yeah.
So that was great. So I was like, oh, and then like, you know, getting up into the, you know, the one thing I will say about it, and I did stream some of this.
Okay.
The R2 unit was too small. From where I was standing, it was too small. You know, so I was like, oh, all right, whatever. Because you know, I've seen like, you know, R2 units from, you know, they're spec'd out from the R2 Builders Club, and so I know roughly, you know, where they come up to me. And stuff like that. But yeah, this one was, it was too small. But I'm like, all right, whatever. So getting into the cockpit and like just looking into it, the level of detail was just amazing. The buttons that you could flip and everything.
All the buttons are active.
I've, you know, studied that, you know, blueprints and everything, you know, because I'm a huge nerd, you know, for 30 some odd years. And so I, you know, I'm looking at it, I'm like, all right. So I click this and it does the firing sequence where this single fire, dual fire, or quad fire. I'm like, oh my gosh! And then you flip this switch, and the S foils open up. And then, you know,
Did you know what switch would do what ahead of time?
A little bit, yes. Okay.
Did they all correspond?
The targeting computer. That's when I knew, because in A New Hope, when Luke's flying down the trench of the Death Star and stuff like that, and when he turns off his targeting computer, he actually, you know, reaches over with his left hand and clicks, you know, to his right. And the targeting computer went. So I looked over there and I'm like, this has got to be it. So I clicked it and sure enough, the targeting computer came out. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So just being able to see all that kind of stuff was just really awesome. then, you know, you get in there and you start flying, and I was, you know, you start off, you know, the way they introduce you to the, you know, to the VR section of the world is they don't just drop you into combat. You're actually in like sort of like a waiting period as the Rebel fleet, you know, comes in.
Yeah, but you have free, you can move
yeah,
around.
Yeah, no, I'm like flying around. I'm looking at, you know, Y-wings. I'm looking at the Nebula B class, you know, cruisers, the Mon Cal cruiser, you know, the transports. I'm just all these things. I'm just like, oh man, they're just so beautifully detailed and just so massive. Whereas, you know, playing it, you know, X-Wing back in the day just didn't quite give it that feeling of hugeness. Even though you're in a cockpit just like this, it just didn't quite feel the same. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I played through that. When the Star Destroyer comes overhead, I was just blown away. I figured out where in the timeline this takes place.
Yeah.
You know, it takes place right after they rescue, so to speak, Jen Erso from the prison colony before they actually make it to Yavin for the first time.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of neat, that, because I was wondering where it would fall into that, you know, so that was neat. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really loved – I know that it's an add-on because, you know, Battlefront had already been out, but I just wish there was more. I wish that, you know, I had more missions.
Or, yeah, it's about like a 15-minute mission,
yeah,
basically.
If they could do an entire game of that, I would –
How was the fight? How was the dogfighting? How was the?
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was intuitive. It was, you know, I'm looking around, and this is how I feel like people that play Elite Dangerous with Oculus would do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're looking to where you go, and then you go there.
Oh, imagine playing Elite Dangerous with VR, yeah, with a HOTAS.
Oh, it would be great.
Which is what I got to play at last year's PAX South.
Yeah.
Was a VR setup of that, which is fantastic.
So yeah, I absolutely loved it. I wish there was more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went and played the Batman.
Okay.
Arkham VR.
Yeah.
It was fun. But it was one of those things like, all right, I did it. I don't think I need to do it again.
Did you finish the whole thing or no?
Yeah, oh, I played through it, you know, saw the ending, got back to the Batcave.
Right.
And then
the Joker stuff was, the Riddler stuff was unlocked.
Yeah, I didn't do much of the Riddler stuff. I was doing more like, you know, with the battering, hitting the targets and stuff like that. It was fun. I mean, it was really sometimes just trying to get it just right, you know, go down for the grapnel gun, but you get the battering instead. I was like, no, that's not what I wanted. And, very, you know, on rail, you're just at point A, you move, you know, you look over there, you just warp to point B, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I had more open movement where I could move around and in the world, I think it'd be a better experience. But for what it was and just, you know, release.
Yeah.
I was happy with it.
Oddly enough, as much fun as you have with these games, VR is still a very much a stationary gaming experience. Now the Vive has it where you can, now if you've got a big enough room, you can expand that a little bit, but even the biggest room allowable by the Vive will still from time to time require you to teleport to spaces just because you can't go any further in one of those directions, so you still have to use a teleport function to move around.
Then there was Resident Evil.
Okay, so did you play Rush of Blood? Did you play any of the other?
I played.
Did you demo anything?
Yeah, I played some of the demos on the VR experience, whatever. Did the London Underground.
Okay.
And that was fun. I enjoy the shooting with that. You know, having to actually clip, into the, you know, the magazine into the, you know, gun chamber, and I mean, you know, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
All right, and so, and then it was in Resident Evil. You actually bought the game, right?
Yeah. I got the game.
For the PlayStation 4.
I first did the demo, beginning hour. And
now, is this the one that's on the disc, or is this the one you downloaded?
Downloaded.
Okay.
Yeah, I have the demo and the game itself. I actually got off of the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, that's fine.
But, playing through, I had to adjust the game to make it where I could play it, to where I turned the brightness all the way up. I put on captions. I have like, you know, pictures of, you know, puppy dogs next to my TV to make me I had to make, you know, cause it was in just the game itself, You know, I remember the demo was, you know, creepy.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't, you know, I say, tell people, I haven't been, you know, this creeped out in a Resident Evil since the original PlayStation days. You know, because, you know, they moved away from that atmospheric, you know, sort of suspense, terror, whatever, to action, shooty, bangy,
yeah,
explosion.
Went from survival horror to action.
Yeah.
Flick.
This yeah. one went straight back. This is like straight up Resident Evil 1. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, sometimes I didn't want to move forward because I know forward is bad things. And I don't want to go to bad things. You know, so just playing it without the VR was kind of scary. You know, I'm, you know, pants messingly bad at times. With the VR, oh my goodness.
It's been a while since they've had it in first person, though, hasn't it?
This is, well, I mean, tech.
Or have they never had it in first person?
Yes and no. They did the, back in the PlayStation days, they had the gun. The, you know, the what, not the gun.
Resident Evil Survivor?
Yeah, Survivor.
Yeah.
You know, so it was the gun game, the light gun game. Yeah. And that was in first person. You move around in first person, you bang, 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 you know, stuff like that. And then they had one on the boat. Gun Survivor.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in a way, but not like this.
Yeah.
So, once you changed it to first person, man, it's scary. It really was. It was great. But, oh, man, the atmosphere, the just, you know, I had to make it brighter just so I could see and not be as terrified.
What is the, how long were you able to play in VR mode?
You can play the entire game in VR mode.
No, I understand that, yeah. But I meant you as a player. How long before it's like, okay, eye strain's happening, or I need to take this off because it's hot?
Really, I wasn't having any of those issues.
Okay.
When I borrowed your Oculus back in the day, granted, it's Dev 1.
The Dev Kit, yeah.
That was giving me terrible headaches. This one?
Well, that's because it was...
The resolution's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
that was low, man. That was low
by
res.
Two.
It was bad, yeah.
Yeah. This, I didn't have that problem.
Okay.
No
motion sickness, no anything,
no.
Huh?
Like I said, the only real thing was like maybe a little bit of like vertigo-ish, like looking over things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you feel like you're actually on a scaffolding looking over, you know, and you're like, oh, I do like how
you could
lean. Oh,
the first effect that ever got me was when Batman Arkham starts up and it's mm-hmm. the title screen.
Yeah.
Because you're standing on the ledge of GCPD.
Yes.
Overlooking the city of Gotham.
And you could actually peer over
it. You can look over the rail. You can look around. Yeah.
Yeah. I could totally see how people could just face plant.
Give you that vertigo. Yeah.
It is the way that Resident Evil controls with the VR. Do you like the Resident Evil games, RJ?
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a Beginning Hour downloaded?
No.
You could download Beginning Hour for free. It's the demo, and you could actually, you know, I would say that would be a good demo one for you as well. Mm-hmm. You know, to try it with
the
VR.
Have you finished Resident Evil yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, I was gonna say you should include the game in there so he could take it and try it out. I don't know if he's interested in trying it out.
I mean, I've watched enough playthroughs and let's plays.
I don't have the disc. I have a download.
Oh, you did the digital download.
Yeah, digital download. Gotcha. Yeah. So.
Probably gonna rent it from somewhere.
You know, the way that it controls is, you know, obviously the left stick can move forward, back,
right.
Strafe, left and right, and everything. You can turn your head to move, and the right stick, if you click it left or right, just, you know, flick left or right, it does a 30-degree turn in either direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you turn your head completely to the left and flip up on the right stick, it actually that centers you, so mm-hmm. that's where you're centered. So then so if
does
I turn to my No, just wherever you're looking.
Okay.
So if I'm like standing straight, looking straight ahead, and I turn my head 90 degrees to the left, flip up, it'll center around. So then when I look straight, I was looking mm-hmm. at the 90 degree. Mm-hmm. So it just realigns that. It's actually not that bad. It's, you know, once you get, you know, in there and start doing it, it's pretty intuitive. The biggest thing is knowing which way to run. Because you'll be doing a lot of
running. I've seen running in that game, and it looks like just a brisk walk.
Oh yeah, it's more like an amble.
I'm
just strolling. You're like running faster. You're like, oh, I'm just gonna.
I'm thinking it's because of the VR aspect. I don't know. Maybe it's...
I don't know. Once you beat the game, from what I hear, you can if you do it like under 4 hours, then you can get like the special run boots to make your run speed faster.
Run boots.
Yeah, something like that.
Sounds like something that should have been in there to begin with.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's what makes it a little tense, when the guy's chasing after you with a chainsaw and you're trying to run away, you know, it is very intense. I I really, this is one of my favorite Resident Evils in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I do get tense because everybody in that game moves faster than you, no matter what you try. Running or walking.
I would say maybe like slightly faster. You could still like, you know, like I was outrunning some of the creatures, you know, and a lot of it's hiding too, especially like the female, like, you know, you'll hide behind stuff and wait for them to walk, you know, another direction. Then you'll scoot around them in the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a lot of that. You know, it's back to, you know, you have a limited amount of ammo and hope you get shots where you can, because if you run out of that shotgun shells,
like I said, I looked at a lot of playthroughs. I don't know if the difficulty changes anything in terms of resources, but it looks like
easy level, you get more ammo and everything, more resources.
Yeah, like I said, I was looking at normal replays in normal mode, and it looks like you still get a good amount of ammo, but you have to be a lot more
precise
and controlled with your stuff.
Because if you just start willy nilly spraying every which way,
It's not like original level. It's not like original Resident Evil level resource limited resources, but there is a limit.
So you know, I'll have like 26 handgun bullets, but if I'm missing every other shot because the guy's sort of like, you know, bobbing around, then I'm like, my goodness.
I've seen that. They do sidestep and sway, weave out the way.
Yeah, where I totally got him in the head. Nope, I missed. I'm like, it just gets me every time. I'm just that little bit of like, that was one bullet I could have used. I could use that bullet better.
I think the ones I see the most are the flamethrower and the machine gun?
I did pick up the flamethrower. I'm in that section. I'd actually made it out of the main house into the yard.
Mm-hmm.
So it is fun. I'm really enjoying it. It's fun. It's spooky. It, you know, a few times I've screamed. I'll admit it. I screamed.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's first person right up in your face.
Oh, yeah. Especially, and you could tell that it was made in a way with VR in mind, the way it just sort of like out of nowhere, blah, in your face, and you're like, oh my gosh. So, and that's exactly what I said. It wasn't a high pitch at all.
I'm sure.
But, I did that and just, really, really enjoy that.
Good.
When you first let me borrow it, I was kind of skeptical about the whole, I'm like, it's VR, man, mm-hmm. I'll give it a shot. But after playing it, I'm like, wow, this is...
VR is really
interesting.
It's such a hard thing to convey to somebody because it is such a see it to believe it type of thing.
Because I've done plenty of first person shooters in my life, but nothing felt like that.
Yeah,
the way it immerses you is just really interesting. The way a monitor or a television flat screen can't. So, I hope they do more with it. I hope it doesn't.
I really hope they do as well.
You know, fade away to the,
If anything, from the praise of that that one mission in the Battlefront thing is concerned, I really hope they go in that direction more, with more things in that sense. X-wings and all that. Yeah, it was just fantastic.
Yeah,
and I love the whole Batman thing was great for me. Just to be able to play that was awesome.
You felt like Batman.
You did. First thing you do, like when they do the mirror to show that you've got the cowl on and everything.
Look at that. I'm like,
I can move around, and it's like
I was like dancing a little bit with it.
And it's really weird. Yeah, it's weird to have that there. So, all right. Well, it's RJ's turn to try out the VR, so he'll be taking that home for a few weeks and enjoying that. And we'll get updates on him next week as to how he's enjoying it. We're going to take a break now, and then when we come back, we're going to open up some of this loot that we've got over here. Again, all songs are new this year. This song comes from Super Mario Brothers 3. It is the overworld theme for it. We'll be right back with more in-game chat right after this. Thank you. And welcome back to In-Game Chat.
Get into it, Matt. Get into it.
Heck yeah.
Do you recognize this music?
Not at all, but I'm digging it.
Yeah. RJ, do you recognize this music at all?
No idea.
Chris doesn't recognize it either.
Chat room, what you got?
Well, I've used this music and other music back when I used to have to do talkovers on our radio stations downstairs.
Right.
Whenever we were live, had to have something play in the background while we were doing our talk breaks. And I used this one. This was one of the tracks that I used, along with another one from this same game. Still nothing for you, huh?
No.
No.
Yeah. This from SSX Tricky.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm digging it.
It's called Song for Dot.
Although, you know what? For some reason, this makes me want to get you some of the Interstate 76 soundtrack, because that was nice and funky as well.
Yeah. There's a lot of... I started looking up SSX music, man, and wave of nostalgia came over me. And then I found video of like the game playing and everything else, and I was like, oh god, I missed that game so bad.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to remember the SSX games I played, just the remake, 2012, I think.
Yeah.
For the PS3, and I think SSX 3 I had for the PlayStation 2, but other than that, I haven't played any other SSX games.
Well, anyway, we're going to open up some loot. Let's start with anime. I'm glad Chris is here, because he can probably explain some of this stuff that we open up here.
Speaking of the box you gave me last time, I've got a picture of what it turned out to be. It was a display for Berserk Sword.
Oh, okay.
And one of y'all want to hold up the phone here, I got a good picture of
it. Well, I remember that's what you showed me a minute ago, so...
y'all can show everybody.
This first box is loot anime. This is from Loot Crate, who've been sending us loot now for almost a year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You must have like a room full of them now.
It's stacking up, man. And we've got to get rid of this stuff, and I've got to come up with a way to get rid of it.
I was about to ask you if you found a way to get rid of it yet.
I'm just trying to figure out the theme. Is it like fantasy?
I don't know. No game, no life. I don't know what this is. This is...
anime series.
Oh, is it?
Okay. No game, no life, yeah.
Yeah. There's a t-shirt.
That was one of the problems I had with the Comic-Con was just, I'm not that big of an anime fan, so it was so much of that there. Like, when I was looking through the dealer room, I was like, meh, nothing really here for me.
Nothing really stood out for you, yeah.
I'm just giving you this because we're going to put it back in the box.
Oh, yeah.
ReZero, Starting Life in Another World.
Yeah.
There's a rotating picture frame.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess these are the two characters from...
yeah.
That.
I'm trying to remember the story. Dude gets killed, wakes up in another world, and has an adventure in there.
Well, I'm glad you know all this stuff now.
Well, I know some of the stuff, not everything, though.
More than us.
Here is Log Horizon
Number
1, The Beginning of Another World, which is the book.
Chris, isn't it like a Sword Art Online imitation or something like
that? Not sure. I know what? Who could answer your question. My buddy Sean, that lives in Prattville. That's the stuff I gave a bunch of the other stuff from the last time to him. And
I think it is Log Horizon. I think it is similar to Sword Art Online.
Phone Charm, I can't tell who that is.
I guess that's big with the anime crowd. Phone Charms,
don't recognize her.
See,
yeah, hold that up to the camera. I guess this is a figure.
No recognition on that one.
Like one of those little mini chibi figures?
Yeah, this is from Sword Art Online.
Yep. I think I recognize her.
Hold that up to the camera, too.
She's got blue hair.
One of the avatars in the game, yeah.
One
of the characters' avatars. Oh.
This is Sword Art Online socks.
Oh. It says on the back, Mother's Rosario Asuna.
Yeah, this is Asuna as well.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't have blue hair. So I don't know.
Good, Chris.
Yeah, that's what's his name's wife in the game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then here's your box, Matt, for you to put everything back in there. Hold that up to the camera there.
Let me
see the socks. And there you go, socks.
Socks in every box.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Loot Pets. Mm-hmm. It's a big box for Loot Pets this year.
More dog biscuits for you to try, Matt.
I know.
They're good dogs.
All right. We've got Meteorites. Meteorites. Chicken and cranberry treats for dogs.
See, you lost me at cranberries.
Rocketed here from a doomed world by desperate scientists, these powerfully delicious chicken and cranberry puffs are here to save your pup's day with a taste that can't be beat.
How do they know it's delicious?
I don't know.
Bring them in on
they
Monday.
They look like pork rinds. They look like
pork rinds.
Yeah. Mini little pork rinds is what they look like.
Wonder if Bailey would like those.
Bailey eats anything. Oh, this is cool. That's cool.
What you got?
They do look like pork rinds.
It's a dog toy. It's just Crypto.
Oh.
Does a squeak.
That's Superman's dog, right?
No, but his cape has his cape makes a
crinkle noise.
Crinkle sound, yeah. But that's cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, Crypto. Eh, well,
Crypto Mini.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dog chew toy. Most dogs I know would have. This is not gonna last. Mm. Oh wait.
Oh, it does.
It does squeak.
So it squeaks and crinkles.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just enough to drive dogs crazy.
There is a Ninja Turtles dog collar charm there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the little, it's the Ninja Turtles logo. Sewer cover with the logo. Yeah. There's a bowl.
A bowl?
It's a bowl.
Oh my goodness.
Star Trek, I saw
it. It's Star Trek.
What?
Okay.
That's cool.
A little Federation emblem in the inside.
Oh my gosh, I want that as a soup bowl.
Yeah. It's a dog bowl.
Don't judge me.
I'm not judging, I'm just...
Oh, I saw that look.
Yeah.
As long as it's clean.
You can see it a lot.
Well, this will be an easy one for you to put back together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boing.
Should be pretty easy there. Yeah, it's...
Oh, that's...
Sprinkles.
That,
what?
The Federation, it's... Engineering, I believe, from the original series.
You sure, though?
Well, that's not science and medical, so yeah, I think it is.
Might just be something for a dog, man.
No, that's actually one of the symbols, you know, because the Federation, you know, they had the different symbols for science and medical command.
So then what's the point of engineering on a dog bowl?
I don't know. Or engineering and... security, because it's a, you know, this is original series, so this would be, you know, since it's a red shirt as
red
well.
Red shirts, yeah.
Yeah.
It's for the owner's benefit, not the dog's, guy.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Let it go.
Obviously. Okay. Let's open up our bag of lootware. Always love these in the back, because it's a little Pac-Man thing. There you go. Trash.
I need to get back into that, by the way.
Pac-Man?
Champion edition.
Yeah. There's jobs out there for humans to taste dog food.
I'm sure.
That's what Molotov has.
I'm sure there is.
So that's how they found out.
With a smack of chicken and cranberry and...
What are these? Boxer
shorts? It tastes like chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Or some kind of skirt thing? No. These are like boxer... Yeah, these are... This is underwear.
Those look like briefs.
Yeah, this is underwear for... I think this is Rick and Morty. That's on the front of this thing, or on the outline that's on there. Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's from Rick and Morty.
Yeah. In fact, I think this entire thing is from Rick and. That's an invoice. I think this entire thing is from Rick and Morty. Now that I'm looking at it.
Okay.
More Rick and Morty, Mr. Meeseeks. This is is this gonna be a hoodie?
Little hoodie. Okay.
Yeah, this is a hoodie.
Oh, okay, not so little. Okay.
Yeah. But it's a hoodie. So there you go with that one. I give this back to Matt. What else is in here?
It's a rather thin hoodie.
Something in this will open up in a minute.
We got a quick question. It says, who's modeling the underwear?
None of us.
Okay, fair enough.
None of us is modeling the underwear. Invader Zim t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. If you give us money on our Patreon page, I will model.
There you go.
Okie dokie.
You'll model anything.
If you give us money, yeah.
And we got socks. Mr. Robot pair of socks.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice color scheme.
And Harry Potter. No, not Harry Potter.
Guardians.
Guardians of the Galaxy, okay. Yeah. Socks.
Rocket?
Yep, Rocket. There you go.
Still haven't seen that movie.
It's good.
Yeah, that and John Wick.
I haven't seen John Wick. Mm-hmm.
Both of you should be seeing John Wick.
Don't That's feel good. Bad, I haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know what's in this. It says Lootware exclusive, so
ooh.
Let's open this up, see what we got. I have no idea what this is.
I don't see how they got...
But it's colorful. Oh, it's a Spider-Gwen.
Is that like a little purse thing?
Like a handbag thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pouch.
Yeah. Yep. Spider-Gwen with, you know, it's... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Wait, I was looking that up today, actually. Spider-Gwen, I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, Matt.
Thank you.
Shove that back in that bag.
You ever read that, anybody?
No.
Spider-Gwen?
I haven't read Spider-Gwen, no.
Yeah, basically. I think it's just basically, instead of Peter getting bit by the spider, Gwen Stacy's bitten by it. It just goes from there.
Now, this box has perforations all over it, which means you can turn the box into something. don't know yet what. Usually the lootware and this stuff, but it's got Superman on it, and by Superman, I mean old-timey Superman. Like, one of the very first Superman. Here is a Geek Tiki. It's a mini Tiki mug with Ninja Turtles. And we get Donatello for this one. RJ, if you can hold that up to the camera.
All right.
And for all the ones in the chat room, yes, it is engineering for the Dog Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was just the color scheme, not the Federation logo itself.
The logos did have different things in it because, like, Science and Medical were blue.
Yeah.
In the original series, Command was gold.
Right.
And Engineering and Security were red.
Yeah.
Next Generation, they swapped it where Engineering was gold and Command was red.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
But they did have actual different logos inside the actual Federation symbol.
Symbol, okay.
This is why we have Matt on the show. So
well, that and you guys like me.
Here's a T-shirt.
The original since 81.
Yep. It's Mario.
Yeah, Pac-Man came before you.
if we're going to go that way, then Pong came before Pac-Man.
Yep.
We've got Action Comics number 1.
What?
Don't open it. It's worth a fortune.
I know, right? And I mean, I'm just telling you exactly what it is. So, first appearance of Superman. DC Comics certifies this is an authentic reprint of Action Comics number 1, volume 1, featuring the first appearance of Superman. This special edition reprint is exclusive to Loot Crate. So you're getting exclusive Loot Crate issue there.
Hey.
There you go. Here is a pen. It is just like the Ninja Turtles one for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
There's the logo and everything else. And the first Avenger, Captain America, 1940s Captain America shield, 1/6 scaled replica of the shield EFX collectibles is what this says. So if we pull this out.
Bet that goes with the box.
Probably right. Oh, wow, that's got some weight to it.
Yeah, it's metal.
Yeah, feels like it. Let's get our fingerprints all over it.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There you go.
Make that into a belt buckle.
Well, you
probably can, actually.
You know, looking if your belt's thin back enough, you might be able to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what that is. And I will hand this over to Matt as well. So we can put that back in. And I think that's it. You get an Origins, Loot Crate Origins magazine, Superman Through the Ages, an interview with Gary Whitta, who wrote Rogue One.
Yeah.
I
follow him on Twitter. He's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, this feels nice.
Yeah, nice little thing. And it kind of goes over everything. Oh, here's what you can do with the box. So the box turns into unfold and flatten the box and follow the detailed instructions printed inside. It turns into a comic book holder.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it'll hold comic books. Which makes perfect sense because it's got all of this on the inside.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't that the original Superman logo?
The S-Shield, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that thing's ugly.
Sure is. Anyway, there you go, Matt.
I think I saw that in there.
All right, and so those are all your loot crates and everything else there. So he's going to put that back in as best he can.
You're still trying to find a way to get
this stuff. Yeah, I've got some ideas.
To stand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
I've got some ideas, and I hope to implement them in the next couple of episodes to give all this stuff away. yeah.
Trick or treat. Here's some loot.
Yeah, here's some loot crate stuff as they come to the house. Exactly.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a candy bar.
Well,
you want to show off what I brought?
Here's a metal shield for you.
Here's some dog treats.
Tell us how they taste.
They look like pork rinds, but don't worry about it.
It's bacon!
Yeah. Yeah. You'll either love them or your dog will, one or the other, so.
Oh, that's a... Oh, never mind.
Yeah. And I think that's going to wrap everything up for us. I don't know what's coming out next week, if there's anything. You know, I got Gravity Rush 2.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I heard about that.
But I haven't played much of it. I've been away.
And your backlog's just getting bigger since you've been ill, yeah.
I know, it is. There's a lot I want to play. Watch Dogs 2 has gone on sale massively, like really dropped in price.
Someone mentioned, Degeneres mentioned in the chat room about For Honor open beta.
For Honor's got an open beta next week.
Open beta next week. Yeah.
Which,
and the
fighting's difficult, Mary.
Ghost Recon Wildlands is in beta. And they were saying in the chat room that it's been getting trounced and everything, which is kind of sad.
Moltal's in that beta, and hopefully he'll call in next week and tell us about it.
Because that's one I've been really interested in.
As a group play of things? Yeah. Like I could do. And what was I reading about? Something's got co-op.
First person shooter.
I can't remember what it is now.
All right.
And I was watching. I either watched some video on it or something, and it's got co-op. But it's only two players.
Oh.
Why is this completely?
Let's see. Atelier Sophie, Knights of Azure, Neo. Neo says to be coming on February 7th.
Uh-huh.
Splasher, WWE 2K17.
Something I saw that was going to
Sniper Elite 4 on the 14th.
That's
Ooh.
The one.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sniper Elite 4 has well, the Sniper Elite 3 had co-op, and me and Nate did a little bit of that. Co-op, if you really actually want a tough game, play that co-op.
Okay.
Because you and your partner have to rely on each other to not set things off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to not trigger alarms or anything like that.
Yeah, by yourself, you control yourself, but your partner, if he or she messes up, that's both of y'all gets messed
so
up.
But
I mean, that'd be interesting because, you know, the sniper and lookout. You know.
Right. The one problem that I've always had with Sniper Elite games is the fact that towards the end of a mission,
it just turns into shoot everything
they
and blow
throw
it.
Out
yeah.
the, they throw out the stealth part of things and just want you to do it, which I think I could put up with for most of the play that I got out of that because I really enjoy it. So,
did you ever beat 3?
No, I did not. No.
I did. I played all the way through it. It was fun.
When does that come out, Sniper Elite 4?
It says the 14th.
All right.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shot through the heart. No to blame.
All right. On that note,
we knew that was coming. Come on.
On that note, we are leaving. Chris, thank you so much for coming by, man. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs our show each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We really appreciate it. Head over to ingamechat.net and join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch, so subscribe to us there. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. If you're on PS4, join our community there. And if you're on Xbox One, we've got a group there as well. You can play games with us and other listeners. We do appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy the big game tomorrow. And have a good week. We'll see you next Saturday. We'll leave you with music from Rogue Squadron 2.
Ooh.
This is the Rogue Leader main theme. We'll see you next Saturday. Bye-bye, everybody.